I was raised Catholic, but through many of the things that I've seen in the Catholic Church, which I haven't got time to go into here now, I became very disillusioned with the Catholic Church. So I began to rebel at a relatively early age in my early teens. And by the time I was 19, I was drinking a quart of rum a day and five or six beer. This continued on. I went to university where I was introduced to drugs. And by the third year of university, I actually graduated from university, but by the third year, I looked at life as hopeless. I went away for a year out to Alberta, came back, and I was heavily into drugs at this point, and attempted to take my life. I can remember coming home stoned and drunk from a party and getting into the bathtub, and I was going to cut my wrists, and I can distinctly recall a voice trying to urge me to do it. The idea that it wasn't my idea, that it might have been someone else trying to convince me to do something, intrigued me, and so I just said, not tonight. A week later, I met a person who offered me a job in sales, and it turned out this guy was a born-again Christian. Through him and through his dear grandparents, who really showed me what it was like to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I converted to Christianity. My life changed dramatically from being in fights and doing drugs constantly. There was a dramatic change. A year later, God gave me the girl of my dreams, my wife, Anne, and it'll be our 21st anniversary this May 31st, 2001. A year later, or thereabouts, our son was born, Alan, our only son, and there we were, just starting off, the three of us. We moved shortly after Alan was born, and we ended up being quite far away from the church that we got married in, so we started going to an independent Baptist church. We went there for approximately 9 years, and we were very good friends with the pastor, and we loved him very much, and that kept us in the church probably a lot longer than what we should have been there. We found the church to be unloving and very legalistic, and they believed in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. This was a doctrine that I never really understood, because I just couldn't see how a person could live like the devil and still be saved, but I was assured that this was from the Word, and to be honest, it's my own fault that I didn't know this, that I didn't check this out more thoroughly, because I just had seen verses that I could never figure out, given the doctrine of the church, but I always accepted it because I figured, well, they have to know more than me. I really didn't know that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and I didn't really try to search the scriptures diligently, as the Bible tells us, to learn these truths. We were there for 9 years, and by the time we left the church, our marriage was in disarray, and our son was having major problems with rebellion himself and low self-esteem and many, many other things. Alan had been going to the school, the Christian school that was associated with this independent Baptist church for 7 years, and he was constantly having a problem with the teachings there, and at one point had said to us, how can you believe what they teach here? None of it makes any sense. Alan's marks plummeted, and he had been an honor student, but he was failing grades now, and all the signs of depression were there, and we couldn't figure out why. We were blind really to the problem, and one of the problems, major problems, was my wife Ann and I were having problems in our marriage and our relationship. The other problem was our relationship with Christ was sadly lacking. We had fallen away from our first love. It's as simple as that. We didn't strive to have the intimacy with Christ. We didn't even know about intimacy. We had become Christians in name only. Our relationship, we had never really developed a strong relationship with Jesus. We didn't have him to lean on, to rest on. We didn't know the truths of the Bible, and we had unwittingly walked away from Christ. We thought we were Christians, and we called ourselves born-again Christians, but in fact, my life had deteriorated to the point where I was almost as bad as I was before I was a Christian, except that I didn't do drugs and I still didn't drink. But my life really had gotten to the point of very, very bitter. My son used to look at me and my wife, his mom, and say, if this is what Christianity is all about and this is what life is all about, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And we were very worried when we used to hear these statements because, of course, to me, it reminded me of when I was that age and fed up with life. But not willing to believe that he had gotten to that point, we just continued on. So anyway, we had a vacation. We went away for a week, and we were doing day trips to down the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia here. And one day we got back, and on the answering machine was an urgent message that Alan had an accident and was in the hospital. We phoned around to try to get a hold of some people, and we actually heard the most horrible news that a parent could ever hear, and that is that he tried to commit suicide. And we rushed to the hospital, and it turned out that he had said that he had taken about 6 or 7 Tylenol pills, and so he was when we got to the hospital, we saw him in emergency, and he was just drugged out right out of it, and we were waiting around for the blood tests to happen and everything, and he had been there for 6 hours in the hospital, and he wouldn't really tell us. He was kind of hazed out, but he was also kind of embarrassed, I guess you could say, about what had happened. But all of a sudden, a nurse came running up, and she was in kind of a frenzy, and she said that the blood had just come back, and he had lied to the doctors. He had taken a half a bottle of Tylenol, and he already had liver damage and kidney damage. And so they had to rush him right in to do a stomach pump. And he was in the hospital for 4 days. And he had to be put on emergency drug. It was a trial drug at this time that was, they had hoped it would reverse the damage, but they didn't have a lot of hope for it because there was a lot of damage there. And there was some enzyme count. I'm not sure what the medical terms for it is, but it was supposed to be a healthy liver or kidney or something. It was supposed to be like in the area of 81 or something points, and his was up around 800. So we went through that. That was a really hard time. And I will say this, the first night and day after this, I just paced the floors going, what's happened? What's happened to our life? And we had people come over and everything, and it just kept getting back to one thing, and that was, there's God, why has this happened? Why has this happened? And so anyway, I had spent a couple of nights in the hospital with him, and he was all tubed up, all kinds of tubes coming in him and everything, and he was really sick, retching, and you know, everything for a couple of days. And it was a horrible sight. And I had said to myself and to my wife, I am determined to investigate this thing through the Word of God and to really strive to get back into it. But we both work at very physically demanding jobs and stressful jobs, and there was a lot of problems at work. We were suffering harassment at work because Ann just couldn't cope with it anymore, and she had to take time off, and we took a lot of flack for that. Ann also had many appointments where she had to get down and talk with psychiatrists, and both of us had to get down as a husband and wife and father and mother and family situations, and so we were trying to juggle all these things, and it just couldn't do it. And went into a severe bout of depression, and she was off for about 5 months off work. It was a recovery time for her because we had found another church and we were going to this church. It was a non-denominational church and become friends with the pastor and his wife, very good friends. And she had a women's group that was meeting her and they were helping her much more than the meetings with the psychiatrists and stuff like this. Anne had just gotten back to work after 5 months off and I was, it was only maybe a month after that, and I was in pretty rough shape. And she was doing a lot better than I was at this point. And what happened was I slipped off a step and partially dislocated a vertebrae in my neck. I was off for 11 months, and I just dug into the Bible. And one of the greatest times of my life because bastion after bastion of false doctrine started to fall. The first false doctrine that fell was once saved, always saved. And it changed my life because I believe that because I believed in eternal security, there was really no desire or no threat of impending of disaster to keep me in no fear of the Lord. There was no fear of the Lord, and the Bible says fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what had happened is I had lost the fear of the Lord. God had ceased to be God, and I had remade God in my own image. And that was as long as I considered myself a Christian, nothing could happen to me eternally. So I had, over the years, slipped into a place of complacency. And I think that once saved, always saved, the once saved, always saved doctrine is one of the most evil doctrines in the Christian world today because it fools people into thinking that they don't need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the second things I learned was that God wants to have intimacy with us. And I realized this because he considers us a bride. And I was thinking to myself, well, bride, he's the husband. Husbands and brides have intimacy. So that astounded me. But when I had learned the once saved, always saved doctrine was wrong, I had really been searching the scriptures and diligently seeking God. And God showed me that he'll never let us go out of his hand, but that won't stop us from walking away from jumping out of his hand, so to speak, and that beware lest you fall and finish the race. And there was just so many scriptures that they were everywhere. My wife and son can tell you that I went around and literally in shock for 3 days just when I learned that truth about once saved, always saved. That was the one that changed my Christian life because we realized in shock that we weren't even saved, that we had all walked away from God, had not kept close to him and not kept a relationship with him. In effect, we had gone a-whoring. We had been unfaithful to him. I was gotten to the point, and my wife had gotten to the point where we just rededicated ourselves, if I could put it that way. We came back to Christ, and our son, too, and he was filled with joy to realize that, there was something else here other than what he had learned all his life. And, he had heard a lot of platitudes and a lot of sayings, a lot of things about Christianity, but had known only a few people that represented that life to him while he was in school. So it was an amazing time of restoration for us. And we had left the church that we were in, a non-denominational church, and basically went to a Southern Baptist church. The pastor had asked me if I would play guitar there, so I was doing that, but I wasn't happy with his preaching, and I wasn't happy with the doctrine again. So I attempted to talk to him a different time about issues of once saved, always saved, and different things like that, and he didn't want to listen to me. And so I said to my wife, we've got to get out of here, but I don't know where to go. And so we were praying about this and asking God to lead us. And one day a person came to sing at the church, and he turned out to be a fantastic Christian. He didn't ever drive home. We drove him home, and to make a long story short, he was going to a Pentecostal church, and we decided to go to that church. And we went there, and we felt like we had finally come home. So our life, since the accident, I realize now that God had used Alan's attempted suicide. I praise God for this. And why? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So I know that this happened, that it happened for a reason. And God could have dealt with us a lot harsher than he did, but he knew our heart. And so the three of us now are serving God, and I might add our son is 20 now, and we're best friends. Like we talk to each other. We have an open relationship. He knows I love him desperately, and he loves me. And all three of us have a great relationship now. And the other thing is that God healed Alan completely. There was no sign of any damage to his liver or kidneys after this was all over. So we give God the glory for that as well. We try to keep reading our Bibles and have made prayer a much bigger part of our life. And even though we can't read our Bibles as much as we'd like to, I have taken upon myself the responsibility to record all of the sermons at our church, and I then turn them into MP3 files. So we purchased MP3 players, and we listen to as much as 3 sermons every day. I've recorded over 200 sermons, and we have a library. And so every day we listen to sermons and the Word of God, and so we're constantly being fed. And I have to say that if we're not doing that, any Christian, as Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that issueth out of the mouth of God. So if we don't eat, we starve. If we don't eat the Word of God, we starve spiritually. It's just as simple as that. So I thank God also for the organization Evangelical Outreach, because it provides materials that show in a clear, concise way. And I remember the tape that we had was so chock full of scriptures showing the obvious falsehoods of that once saved, always saved doctrine. And we have distributed that tape to a number of people, and they've been amazed at how clear the scripture is in showing that this is a false doctrine. So I just praise God with all my heart, and I just pray that my testimony here can benefit anyone out there that is thinking that they can do whatever they want to do and they're going to stay saved forever. Eternal security is a lie. It's raked from the pit of hell, and it is designed to put you in hell. So I pray to God that you'll ask Him to open your hearts and your minds to the truth of what the Bible teaches about this. And thank you for listening.